because Kennedy doesn't want to be held liable for this, and because he doesn't want to be held before the bar of public opinion, and I guess because he wants to suggest to people that we're going to not only arrest you, but we're going to seal up the records so people aren't going to know you're arrested when they look at this in the future. It's a way of trying to discourage behavior the council disagrees with. Of course, it's a clear violation of the First Amendment and a violation of the Brown Act, and it's part of a pattern and practice of harassment of activists, which is what the lawsuit is all about. And around that issue, since we're nearing the end of the program, I encourage you, if you have been harassed at City Council or felt intimidated or chilled, felt your time has been cut off, or observed this happen, we would like to get your declarations, we being those of us, myself, my attorneys, and those who are supporting this lawsuit, to have you get in touch with us at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And essentially, we will kind of interview you and see what meeting the concern you had appeared at, and perhaps include it in the documentation to the federal court in April as we proceed with this lawsuit.
So the part Robert Norris remained in the chambers and the police escorted him out at the request of Mayor Crone, are you considering that to be during the recess, as testified to by Mr. Norris, I believe, right?
Exactly.
So you're suggesting that that those words be removed from the minutes?
I think it's the next, that one sentence. After it says council recessed and reconvened, then there's a sentence that talks about...
The location of that sentence seems to indicate that it happened after the reconvening. Yeah. But you're saying it did not happen after the reconvening.
I would just strike that.
I'm not clear on exactly when it happened, tell you the truth.
Well, I think the point is, not all of us were paying attention to this, and especially during the recess, I don't want us to be like called into court to testify that this is the right sequence of events.
Right.
Because I wasn't even present. So anything that didn't happen during the council meeting, I think we should just omit, because we'll be subpoenaed to court and asked to testify if this happened, and I wasn't even.
And of course, this is a spurious reason, because it has nothing to do with whether it's in the minutes if he's going to be asked to testify. He'll be asked to testify because it's criminal behavior on the part of Mayor Crone, or it's behavior which the council is liable, because Christopher Crone didn't decide of his own accord independently that he wanted to have me removed from the meeting. It was done essentially under pressure from Fitzmaurice as part of official city business. And this attempt to avoid responsibility for it by Kennedy is a rather kind of ill-thought-out approach, where he's essentially, again, I think he's acting punitively. He thinks it's a way of striking back at what I'm doing, which is trying to make sure that the accurate record is recorded and that the council is seen in the full light of the pitiless glare of publicity as to what exactly it's doing with its critics. He's attempting to turn that light off and at the same time to sort of slap me across the chops and say, oh, Mr. Norris is just looking for publicity here. It's true, I am looking for publicity, but there's a very particular reason I'm looking for publicity in this situation, because the council is engaging in inappropriate behavior, and behavior that chills the public debate. And Kennedy here is really a key player that, unfortunately, Mayor Crone, along with his listening to the counsels of council member Fitzmaurice, seems to be particularly responsive to. And for those of us who thought that the Crone-Fitzmaurice sugar regime was going to be different than the Rotkin-Kennedy regime, of course, now we've known for some time that's not the case, but this again is really a startling reminder of how we have the old regime and the very old regime, and essentially it's the same old regime.
I just should not be accountable.
Ms. Cook?
I actually did review the tape this morning, and Mr. Norris was outside the chambers by the time council reconvened.
Okay.
And that's very discreetly said by the city clerk, Leslie Cook. I was outside the chamber in handcuffs under citizen's arrest from Mayor Crone, none of which now appears in the minutes.
Is shown outside the chambers by one of the cameras. So striking that probably would be
correct.
All right.
Other than that, I support the that change.
With that change?
That change is fine. I had actually one other question.
Please.
On a different item. That's on the item three items. Since we didn't have closed session, we didn't review those items.
Right. And we have them on for the closed session on
on Tuesday. Rejection of the claims merely starts the 6-month statute.
I understand
for running.
That. Yeah.
And what's being discussed here is the item of the fellow who is making a claim against the city for racial harassment by the police. Rather serious charge. And my point has been that the police officer's name should appear here so we'll know who is being accused, because the normal Citizens Police Review Board process, whereby you actually get to complain and have your little mock hearing, actually there's not even a hearing, but you get to file some written papers and they look at it behind closed doors after the police department investigates it. That whole process is short-circuited because in serious claims against the city council blocks any Citizens Police Review Board examination of this until the whole civil lawsuit is resolved. So the public won't know what's going on. And the name of a police officer who is where such a serious accusation is publicly made, and it's going to be under penalty of perjury and slander, and is, actually, it should be available for the public to see. But because the police department is so powerful in Santa Cruz, and because the city council is so hostile to any changes here, we have a situation where the names of police officers are not revealed when these complaints are made. Even these public claims against the city. I mean, you can get the information by going to the city clerk's office and digging it out. What you hear Fitzmaurice and Barisoni, the attorney, saying is, oh, well, this hasn't been considered yet by the city council, which is completely irrelevant. It's going to be considered in closed session by the city council, and then once they do, they are likely, if their past actions are any precedent, to say this will not be, this will be held back from the police review board until it's resolved in the courts. And that means all serious cases involving any real police abuse are essentially denied any kind of public accountability until long after the fact. So the same police officers can go on engaging in the same abusive behavior without any response and without any knowledge of the community. And my only concern was that this be put down in a fashion publicly so it's more easily accessible to the public. And of course, Fitzmaurice, the police officer's friend, who apparently has a lot of police services that he uses here. He has had homeless activists removed from chamber by police. He's had injunctions served on homeless activists by city police. He apparently is not of a mind to hold the police accountable or even put the police in a position of any possible embarrassment.
Negotiate if council gives us direction with the claimants.
Okay, with that understanding anyone looking at the process understands that we can still discuss these items and look at the matter, the substance of the matter, and make comment on it. I would move those items as well because I have reviewed the notes on those items. And I had no outstanding questions, to tell you the truth. So therefore, I'm just assuming others might have something, but people could vote no in response to that item if they feel they have a... admit there's a significant number of people that had outstanding questions that might be interesting. But other than that, yes, I accept that modification and move the items. I'm moving them all together.
Yes.
I will tend to vote yes on all the items with the exception of the one dealing with the minutes. I wasn't here, so I'll abstain.
Okay, and Ms. Cook, could you say when the next closed session is?
So again, the question is not whether the city council in closed session can look at this, as Fitzmaurice seems so intent on bringing up, but whether the public has any access to any of this stuff, which it doesn't. And that is, of course, the concern of those of us, at least that was my concern when I raised the issue. So that was the city council meeting of, part of the city council meeting of May 26th, the afternoon session. The session which Christopher Crone guaranteed me that I would be getting 3 minutes. And then explained to me later that he misunderstood. He meant I was going to get 3 minutes, or perhaps he was going to get a generous 5 minutes on all the items, all four items, which amounted, of course, to a minute and 15 seconds per item. And what we have again is this contraction of public discussion and this discriminatory treatment of individuals who the city council doesn't like. And hopefully we'll have a remedy for that in federal court eventually. Although the Sentinel has been doing its damnedest to keep this whole thing very, very, very quiet. There hasn't been a peep out of a federal lawsuit, the first federal lawsuit I've ever heard of against city council, as I said before. And it's just sort of amazing to me that not a word has appeared on the issue. Because I think it's a matter of, you know, ordinary public interest, but I think, of course, it's only going to appear when some other media picks it up, and then the Sentinel will do some little story in the back page, maybe. A couple of quick updates, since we only have about 10 minutes left here on Free Radio, and that's what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and final calls should be called to 427-3772. Folks may be wondering where you can take a dump downtown, since Borders bathrooms are closed, and, you know, some people are not allowed in the Bookshop Santa Cruz, I for one, for instance, and even coffee shops which pump out the coffee, like the Coffee Roasting Company, don't seem to want to open up their bathrooms. And if you use the ones in the Palomar bar, you're likely to get some pretty nasty looks and even some critical comments, although I've been able to successfully negotiate my way through there on different occasions. What happened to the bathrooms that the Crone Crapper Commission promised? That's Christopher Crone initiated Resolution of 99, which set up the commission, the task force on bathrooms. Well, there were five porta-potties that they finally came up with. They didn't do any bathrooms. They just did some porta-potties. They didn't investigate a Santa Barbara solution, which involves paying restaurants that have restrooms to open those to the public so that then the city will clean them and maintain them. That's worked to some extent in Santa Barbara. Didn't look into that. They didn't look into holding businesses like the Coffee Roasting Company accountable so that if they have significant number of seats there and people drinking coffee, that they have a restroom that people can use, at least for their customers. And on top of all that, the Public Works pulled out two of the porta-potties, the one in back of the Catalyst and the one around the San Lorenzo Lumberyard, and they don't intend to replace them. I talked to Matt Farrell. He told me in a phoned message, he's the staff person for this former Crone Crapper Commission. One, the Crone Crapper Commission won't work because he's too busy. It won't meet because he's too busy, and he hasn't got time to staff it. And it's interesting the way he puts it. He didn't say, we're not meeting because the commission has decided it doesn't want to meet. He said the staff members, and they're the ones who really have the power, have decided that they haven't got the time to staff it. I mean, it's breathtakingly straightforward on his part and really reveals the true structure of the city government underneath. What else? Oh, I want to commend, at the city council meeting, a cartoonist came up to me and gave me a great caricature of the city council. And Gérard Depardieu, you know who you are. If you're listening to this broadcast, please, we want more such caricatures. I'm trying to get out a special edition of the Street Shit Sheet, which is a sort of a local homeless newsletter I put out a couple times a year. I may actually be getting one out, although don't hold your breath. And, of course, Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper, which is sold in Santa Cruz by homeless people for a buck a piece, and please buy from them, will be the April edition, will be coming up, and there'll be special stories of a particular interest on the Santa Cruz scene. In the last issue, there wasn't much on Santa Cruz, but a lot on other cities. If you're interested in getting the Street Spirit or the Street Shit Sheet, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you're a homeless person who wants to vend them, you might call Becky Johnson at 429-8529. She's sort of a vendor coordinator who has sort of been handling that one for a number of years. That's if you want to sell Street Spirit, you can sell them for $1 a piece and keep the profits. That's a way of making a little pin money there. Good news from the Coalition on Homelessness up in San Francisco. This is a large group that has been publicly challenging Mayor Brown and his gruesome Newsom folks on the supervisors and various anti-homeless proposals that have been floated in San Francisco. The Coalition on Homelessness also publishes Street Sheet, which you can also buy down here, again, if you contact Becky Johnson at 429-8529. But the Coalition on Homelessness apparently is coming down to the conference, the Sleeping Band Summit that we're having on May 3rd and 4th. So I want to thank you, Coalition, and I hope that turns out to be as productive as it looks like it's going to be. We can actually get some of the activist heavies in there. I got a note from Ruben Batillo, who runs an internet service called Homeless World, and he passes on stories on the internet that cover homelessness throughout the globe, and it's a kind of very exhaustive series of articles he'll send you if you want to sign up with his service. And he sent me sort of a note on the Las Vegas situation. I read you earlier about how there's been a kind of a growing number of camps in the streets of homeless people in Las Vegas, and the ACLU has stood up for them. Rubin says, I find it very interesting that the Las Vegas ACLU sued in federal court on behalf of the local homeless. The ACLU of Humboldt County didn't do shit for the South Jetty homeless. That's up in Eureka. And I'm sure other ACLU chapters have avoided homeless rights like the plague, too. For example, Santa Cruz. You might try contacting the Las Vegas chapter for interviews and attend the May conference. Maybe if enough encouragement is heaped their way, the ACLU will even take homeless rights before the U.S. Supreme Court. May not be a dream team, but it would be nice to see the U.S. Supreme Court making major rulings on fundamental homeless rights. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm going to be calling the ACLU folks in Las Vegas and inviting them to come to the summit and give an update, maybe bring some homeless people with them. What a concept. A couple of other quickies. Zoe Einbinder, who was arrested with me at Hippie Planter, now Yuppie Planter, for tabling 2 months ago on complaint of Matisse Selman by Sergeant Baker, who gratuitously took us both into custody and hauled us off without needing to do so. A citation for me would have been quite sufficient, and but he, you know, he got his extra thrill in there, as just he'd done 6 months before when he arrested me at the farmer's market on another citizen's complaint by Janet Blazer, on another bogus ticket that was dropped, on another issue of the right to petition and to assemble. Zoe went to court on three prior tickets, which she had gotten for displaying her jewelry. Apparently, it was a sort of so significant harassment that she came to a Huff meeting and was hanging out with Huff, and that was the reason she got arrested that day, was because she was sitting at the table nearby, and she was sort of swept up in this dragnet. And those tickets for essentially displaying her, I'm not getting the right word, but it was a form of jewelry. They were all dismissed in the interest of justice. And the public defender who was standing nearby, I think I already mentioned this, said this was done because she fought them. And so congratulations, Zoe. Similarly, Linda Lemaster's citation of a citizen's arrest by Ali Cobb, Alibaba's Cafe, for battery after Ali threw her stuff on the sidewalk, a Coke can or a soda pop can that she had, an empty one, was apparently bounced off his shirt, and he used that as a basis for filing a complaint. And we went into the whole details about how Officer Brand, who took that complaint, wouldn't take her complaint or discouraged her from filing a complaint against Ali Ka, the merchant, although was quite quick and eager to take Ali Ka's complaint. That complaint was dismissed. Now the question is, there's a process that's going to be, that I'm looking into using, which I sort of mentioned briefly earlier in the show, which has to do with citizens' arrests. If you are being arrested on a citizen's arrest by a merchant or by the mayor, as I was arrested on March 12th, then you have the option, and I'm getting the code sections together to put this on the internet so folks can see the specifics. You have the option, as I understand it, to immediately request of the officer, to demand of the officer, that you wish to make a citizen's arrest of the person who is arresting you, if that arrest is being done maliciously or without probable cause. So, for instance, when Mayor Crone had me arrested for disrupting a meeting, when there was absolutely no indication that I was disrupting a meeting at all, that I had the right to demand that he be given a citation in his turn for making a false police report. Now, Sergeant Baker and Officer Brandt refused to do that, which is a crime. It is criminal behavior for an officer not to take a citizen's complaint when he's making an arrest. If I want to make a citizen's arrest, I have the absolute right to do that with an officer. The officer doesn't have to take the person to court, but he has to give that person a citation. And if I'm then making a false complaint, I'm responsible for it. But neither Brandt nor Baker would do that. So that still is something that I think that we can press to do, because the LAPD does do that when pressed to do that, even by lowly homeless activists like David Bush, who we played his arrests on the air and discussed his response to being told he can't sit down at a restaurant and order a cup of coffee. When they ordered him arrested for trespass, he demanded and successfully demanded the LAPD file immediately a citizen's arrest against the owner. And, of course, the charges against him were eventually dropped. And he's engaging in civil lawsuits against the people who are harassing him as a homeless person. But I think that at City Council, if Mayor Crone knows there's going to be a cost every time he asks someone to leave the chambers, it better damn well be for a real disruption, or else he will face a citizen's arrest, which doesn't mean you walk up there and put him in handcuffs, which means you go to a police officer and say, I want to make a citizen's arrest of Mayor Crone for this particular behavior. Please do so. This is my name. This is the charge. And then if the police officer doesn't do that, then you take the you immediately file a complaint about the police officer under the code section, which says that a police officer doesn't have to take a person into custody, but he has to take the complaint. I've actually done this successfully with Terry Butler, who's a host who was playing this loud music over the loudspeakers near the New Leaf Market. This was being done by the Redevelopment Agency, and I demanded that Butler be arrested for unreasonable noise. And an officer took that complaint, but then he released, once he had got the citation for Butler, he dismissed it after he had filled it out, saying that there didn't rise to the level of a crime, which of course wasn't necessarily true. I believe there was clear probable cause. Butler admitted blasting the music out over the sidewalk, and but, you know, it was being done under the aegis of the Redevelopment Agency. Still, this is a process we can use at City Council and elsewhere when we are the victim ourselves of false arrest. I think there's also, I mean, if you could carry it one step further, if Mayor Crone actually threatens you with inappropriate behavior, I mean, if he uses his position in such a way as to be abusive of authority, it's also possible to make a charge. If you feel you have probable cause, and you have to, maybe possibly of violating the Brown Act, and the question there of whether it's civil or criminal will come into play, and all these, are, of course, are legal questions that we have to explore in more detail, and hopefully I'll have some raw data for you on the internet. I'm not a lawyer. I just, you know, I look at the law code the same as everyone else. All I can do is present the different code sections as I see them and tell you about my experience in different courts and the experience of other activists who've talked to me about it. On another subject, or a related subject, Michael Tomasi, the fiery-voiced homeless man who lives in his van, who whose voice rings out at City Council, sometimes rather discordantly, sometimes rather strongly, or I should say always rather strongly, was not cut off for the first time in three meetings at City Council on March 26th. I don't know if this is a great boon or benefit for a lot of us, but it's certainly a benefit for him for being able to speak freely. I've got a lot more to say, but I think we have a man entering the studio.
Speaking of getting cut off.
Steal the mic from. They may have to make a citizen's arrest, however.
I think it's time for Robert to be getting cut off.
The V-man, who is notorious for his illegal behaviors.
Illegal behaviors? What illegal behaviors
are
you referring to?
Well, first of all, what is this radio station that you're involved in? I understand you are engaged in...
Wait a minute. You're changing the... You're obfuscating, Mr. Norris.
Don't use those big words.
You're talking about getting cut off.
Just because you're better educated in some respects and younger doesn't mean that you can take...
Better looking, I might add.
All right. I want to thank you for being with us in this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadside. It's time to take off. Tune in on Thursday from...
Thursday.
6 to 8 in the evening. I'll be back and come into the Huff meeting on Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square.
That's not an advertisement.
At 1107. Certainly not. It's free.
This program is not sponsored by a grant from Baker
Square. Certainly not. 423-HUFF is the number to call in between
423-4833.
423-HUFF. Thank you.
Thank you.